Welcome back to Horizons. Father Bernard Healy, thanks very much for joining me this morning.
Mary, it's great to be here.
Father Bernard, I would love an update on synodality in the diocese, in the country, and I suppose the link to Rome, because you are very involved in that aspect of things. October, what happened in October?
Okay, many of you out there will remember that there was a big build-up. There were consultations here in Ireland and so on about the gathering of the Synod of Bishops in Rome last October. But maybe to say the Synod of Bishops is to narrow it too much, because the actual gathering that happened in Rome involved 365 participants who had an equal vote, and it wasn't just bishops. It involved laity, religious, priests, deacons, and as well as those voting members, lots of other advisors from all over the church. There's a video on our diocesan YouTube channel, Bishop Brown Don Leahy, who was there and who reported back, and he could explain, give a first-hand account of what happened. But from our point of view, in terms of the church as a whole, that meeting concluded in October. It's going to gather again next October, but it issued a number of documents. There was a big document which summarised all the conclusions they came to, all the things they agreed on, all the things that they didn't quite agree on. And, you know, that's quite a long and complicated document, but it's there if people want to read it. Then they also wrote a shorter letter to the entire church. And as part of that shorter letter, they just mentioned in passing that they, to help them get ready for next October, they kind of want a little bit of a more focused feedback from every country in the world.
For somebody who's been absolutely asleep and doesn't know what we're talking about when we talk about synodality, can you give a quick summary, Bernard, of what it is?
Okay, synodality, it's a word that Pope Francis likes to use a lot. And at its core, it's about figuring out how we can walk together as a church, how we can do our work as a church, carry out the church's mission in such a way that everyone is involved and everyone is supported, that everyone has a voice and that everyone has a role. Pope Francis is really pushing it. And this meeting in Rome, the Synod of Bishops in Rome, is doing two things. First of all, because it's such a broad group of people from all over the world discussing church issues, it's an example of what Pope Francis is talking about. But it's also supposed to advise and give direction to the church as a whole, so that even down at the level of what's happening in your local parish, that there will be maybe some ideas and some suggestions that can make life in parish much more collaborative as well, where everyone has a part to play, but also a genuine voice in what happens as well.
And how does this marry with what is actually happening in the diocese at the moment around all the parish consultation meetings?
I suppose it's an example of what Pope Francis is talking. Now, those parish consultation meetings, you know, they're not directly connected with the Synod in Rome that I'm talking about, but it's an example of the kind of thing that Pope Francis has been encouraging. And, you know, it's the kind of thing I think that we will be getting used to in the life of our church over the next 5 and 10 years, because there is certainly an understanding that whether we're talking about a local level or a national level, we need to draw on people's wisdom more, and we need to have people genuinely buying into what the church is doing. And you can only really buy into something if you're in some way convinced that the decisions that are being made, that your voice has some part to play in those decisions being reached.
Bernard, what has happened after the Synod?
First of all, Pope Francis, he said quite explicitly that he's going to narrow the discussion down. The report at the end of this first session of the Synod in Rome had 20 topics in it. And if they're going to be just meeting once more, you know, in Rome in October, they're going to have to narrow down on what are the most important topics they wanted to talk about. So that's in Pope Francis' hand. The second thing, is something that, funnily enough, was missing from the Synod that happened in Rome. It was noted that of all the 365 participants, bishops, laity, kind of professors of theology and so on, there was a real shortage of actually ordinary priests who worked in the parishes. There's going to be a gathering of priests in Rome in April, just as I say, to give a bit of feedback to feed into the discussions that are happening next October. Pope Francis, again, kind of working with the resources he has in Rome, he gathered together a number of expert theological groups. And their job really is to take what was said last October and, you know, give that bit of extra advice rooted, I suppose, in scripture and rooted in theology, so that when they meet again in October 2024, they'll have some bit of theological guidance given to them. But the last thing, and the thing that I suppose concerns maybe everyone listening this morning, is that the synod itself said that they wanted a shorter and a more precise consultation to be done throughout the world to, again, help them in their work in October. And what they're talking about is something very precise, and just something actually that bothered me while the synod was going on. You know, we have people from all over the world gathered in Rome, and they're discussing all kinds of very important issues. But what they're not saying in our part of Africa or Asia or Europe or America, we are doing this. It works well. It's about cooperation. And we think that the church throughout the world would learn something from it. That bothered me, that they weren't, you know, dealing with concrete things. They were talking about very theoretical things, but they weren't talking about, you know, the good things that are happening. And we're all from the church, but there's good things happening. We don't share the good news. And so what they have asked is that every country in the world should report back to them what good things are happening in terms of consultation and cooperation locally, and also as well, how can things be better?
So Bernard, what are you asking people to do? Are you asking them to respond to this question?
Absolutely, I am. I invite people to write in, either the old-fashioned way with pen and paper, or indeed with an online form on the Diocese of Kerry website. And we're going to be asking you to feedback on three questions, and I put them in a very simple way. First of all, can you tell us about the positive things that you know of in your own locality in terms of sharing and cooperating in the work of the church? The second thing then is we're asking people, are the things that you can think of that can be done better, whether it's at parish level or at the level of our pastoral areas, in terms of, again, more cooperation, more consultation, more involvement? And finally, then there's a question maybe which is about the church in Ireland as a whole. You know, there is, I suppose, the public voice of the church. There is our involvement in healthcare, education, and so many other things that affect us on a national level. And the question there is, can we think of ways in which there can be a greater role and a greater voice for lay people in what the church does nationally? They are the three things we want just ordinary people who know their parishes, who are involved in parishes, to feed back to us.
When is that going up on the website, Bernard, and when can people respond?
It's already up on the website this morning. I'm hoping as well that parish newsletters will have a notice about it this weekend and next weekend.
So you're giving people yet another opportunity to speak, to have their voice. It's great.
It's wonderful. That it'll be visible on the front page of the website. And there are kind of two main things that I have in that resource. The first is, you know, our online form. People to answer the questions that the Synod in Rome is asking, and that, as I say, answers have been gathered from all over Ireland for this job of work for us between now and the middle of March. But I'm also as well going to put up links to the big, long, complicated document for those who are into big, long, complicated documents, the shorter letter that the Synod bishops wrote to the entire church, and also as well a link to Bishop Brownthorne's video. And that really is worth watching. Bishop Brownthorne was very generous. He made an offer to Bishop Ray and to myself there a few months ago. He said that he'd love, as I say, to do a little session with our clergy in terms of updating them on what had happened in Rome at the Synod. And we recorded and we said, you know what, this is something that everyone in the diocese could benefit from hearing. So it's available and, you know, delighted to share that with you as well.
So Father Bernard, it's all on our website, mm-hmm. dioceseofkerry.ie. Another opportunity to have your voice heard, and behind the scenes, you'll be gathering that information and it will be going to Rome.
Absolutely. As I say, we're gathering it from people up until the middle of March. Precise details will be on the website. And that then, by the end of March, that will be going to national level. There's a woman called Julianne Moran who is directing a little committee on behalf of the Irish Church as a whole. And they will be compiling the good ideas and the criticisms from all around Ireland. And they then will be feeding into the work that will be happening in Rome in October.
Father Bernard Healy, thank you very much for issuing this invitation.
Mary, thank you.
Jennifer McCabe, an Ephesian prayer.
May the Lord our God bless you with love. May the Lord our God fill you with peace. May he lead you and guide you. May he love you with compassion. May God bless you and hold you. And to build your lives on love. May the Lord our God bless you with love. May the
Kenny, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons.
Thanks, Mary.
Cailleadh an Óg is coming up shortly.
That's right.
Remind people what that's all about.
Well, Cailleadh an Óg, it's the Irish for a celebration of our youth throughout the diocese. And we've been doing this for quite some time. It was started by my predecessor, Catriona Broderick, who's now principal in the presentation in Listowel. It was called the Diocesan Project then. Then, you know, my predecessors since Catriona have kept it going. And it's really where the diocese make a strong connection with the schools through this celebration. And initially I would send out a book of resources at the start of the year, and they would pick a project from that book. And they're not kind of bound to the book as such. They may have done another project outside of that, but the book kind of guides them a little bit in relation to the presentation and things they could be doing.
So they're all projects linked to religious education,
yeah,
or something,
yes,
in the,
yeah,
school or in the parish?
That's right, yeah. Now, I know in the earlier stages there was probably a stronger kind of link with the parish. It tends to be more projects in the school now that they're doing, and some of them do outreach, but less so now than maybe in the earlier days. But so they may do something like church architecture. They may visit their local church and say, okay, we'll do A, B or C. So if the school in Castle Island might go next door to the church in Castle Island and do a project on the stained glass windows or on the layout of the church, or maybe a little bit of history on the architecture. Some of them might do something on climate change or Laudato Si stewardship. Some of them might do something on, you know, they might do outreach where they might go to an old people's home and do music or something at Christmas time. Some of them use the shoebox appeal projects. Some of them might focus on a Lent project or sacred space they might do in the school.
So huge variety
scope
of projects.
Yeah. Then they do that and they prepare a 2 to 3 minute presentation, and they come then to the Brandon Hotel in Tralee for the celebration day, and they present this, whatever they did. The celebration day kind of brings everything together. Bishop Ray will attend and present certs and that to acknowledge the school's work. We'll have a guest speaker, and we'll also have a series of speakers for the smaller workshops. And KDYS come and do the fun workshops in the evening with Tommy Maloney. They do great work then after lunch for fun and that with the young people. So it's a variety of workshops, the guest speaker, the presentations, they all get lunch as well. It's usually good fun and the kids enjoy it.
Who is your guest speaker this year?
It's Father Joey McGrath, and he does a lot of work with young people. He's actually from Athlone, so he's coming and he's going to present the main part of the workshop this year.
And I've been there for many years, and it's a great feel-good day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The young people love it.
I think the energy from the young people, they love to hear other schools present and what are they doing, that sort of thing. We have a performer who's going to do a bit of music in the morning as the young people arrive. We also have a choir who will perform and sing for the opening prayer. So there's a lot of energy around in the morning.
Have you got a theme this year, Tomás?
Yes, hope in a divided world. With everything that's going on in the world today, I think it's nice to just reflect on the fact that there's always hope and there's always something to look forward to beyond all the despair and the division and the hardship that's going on in the world.
Lovely theme. And tell me a little bit about the workshops.
So we could have someone from Trokra, there's someone coming to speak about climate action. We will have a group from Untubber Nua, which is a retreat group, and they travel around to schools throughout the country. They're based in Galway and Cork. Seamus Kenny from the Cork office, even though he's a Galway man, he'll be coming with his group to talk about their retreats, and he'll do something fun with that time.
Excellent.
Youth for Christ are coming with their soccer cage again, so that's always good, and they enjoy that. They're based in Mullingar. We also have music groups coming to do, say, dance and some to do kind of music. There'll be someone speaking about social justice as well. So it's all engaging for young people. Hopefully they'll enjoy the smaller workshops as well as the guest speaker.
And they'll definitely enjoy the lunch, Tomás.
Yes, the lunch is always favoured on the evaluations. Yeah, more chips is all they say.
What's the point of the whole thing, Tomás?
The purpose of Cailleadh na n-Óg is to support the faith of young people, really, and to get them to engage with their faith as best they can within school and out of school if they choose to do an outreach project. So it's really to encourage faith and to see where young people are at in their faith.
Why do you think that the connection to outside of the school isn't as strong as it was?
Well, I think it's to do with a number of factors, really. You know, school life is busier than it ever was now. And there's lots of things coming at school, not just academic-wise, but everything else that's coming at schools. And I think religion teachers normally have to take on RSE. They normally have to do the religious education, whether it's exam or non-exam. They're doing extracurricular stuff, liturgies and so on. Schools are just busy. And I think outreach to, we'll say, a parish or something is just an extra piece of work, and it's probably that bit more complicated with child safeguarding, all of that sort of thing. And I just think they're shying away from it a little bit, maybe because of that.
But we're looking forward to another great day.
Yeah, it should be a great day.
14th of March?
The 14th of March. It's a Thursday, the Thursday before St. Patrick's weekend in the Brandon Hotel in Tralee.
Well done, Tomás. Sounds like a great occasion.
Thanks, Mary. Thank you.
After the break, we begin again.